It's a new series that I'm starting today, and I've called it Ghost Stories. Now, if you have a King James Version of the Bible, you probably have noticed that the Holy Spirit in the King James Version is called the Holy Ghost. And the Bible, when it was originally written in other languages like Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, that was the original languages. But this early version of an English Bible translated Spirit as ghost. And a lot of times that's given a negative connotation of that word. And it might have confused or even repelled some people in the past. But we don't need to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He is our helper and comforter on earth. And for the next several weeks, originally this was a 4-week series, but I've debating on whether I keep going. I'm not for sure. So just bear with me. I want to, over the next several weeks, give you a hopefully a broad view, maybe get even into some in-depth that of the Holy Spirit, maybe in ways that you've not ever thought about or understood. Some people might even be intimidated by the Holy Spirit. I don't know what everybody's feelings are. I know that growing up as a kid raised in a Pentecostal church, I saw some interesting things. You know, some things that, yes, man, I mean, it was, you could feel the power of God. You knew it was the Holy Spirit. And then other things you're going, yeah, I don't know. You know. But what I want us to do is I want us to take a more intimate look into the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you something. He's not someone to be afraid of, but someone that could and should be a very important part of your life. And over the next several weeks, I want us, you and I, to get to know the Holy Spirit and what He can offer each of us. So we're going to begin. The first question that I want to answer today is, who is the Holy Spirit? Now, for those of you that know me well, you didn't just meet me, right? You probably were introduced to me by someone else. You got to know me by that person telling you who I am and maybe letting you know more about the relationship that we had with that person before meeting me. In other words, when you want to get to know someone new, often the first step is what? To be introduced by someone who already knows that person well, right? I mean, that's usually how you meet somebody. And so I think during Jesus' years of ministry on earth, Jesus knew the Holy Spirit better than any human ever had or has since. So I believe the best person to learn about the Holy Spirit from is Jesus himself. And the words that Jesus uses to introduce the Spirit to the disciples is found in John chapter 14. And as a matter of fact, I believe that when we are done here today, I want to encourage you to go back and read all of John chapters 14 through 16. I believe that that will give you a great introduction to the Holy Spirit. And for now, I want to read a few verses from these chapters. I'm going to read several verses through John chapters 14, 15, and 16. And I want to begin with John 14, verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." I'll stop there for just a second. Notice here, Jesus begins with words of comfort. He's saying, in other words, trust us. We know what we are doing. You know, we have a plan. That's what Jesus is telling the disciples. Those first few verses, he's telling the disciples, and as you read from verse 1 on into the next few verses, he's telling the disciples that he's going away to prepare mansions for them, and he tells them that he has to go. Now, go with me to verses 16 and 17. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, he says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Now notice here the NIV uses the word advocate. Now if you look at the New King James version, it says helper. The person the Father will send sounds mysterious, but Jesus tells the disciples that the role and nature of this person is to help. Now notice also that Jesus tells them that they know him. He tells the disciples, you know him. And he explains how. He says, for he lives with you and will be in you. Now at the moment Jesus was speaking, the disciples had experienced the helper dwelling with them to a certain extent. But the helper was about to be sent in a way that would make him not only that would make him not only with them, but in them. And although Jesus spoke these words to a small group of his closest friends and followers, they are also meant for us, you and me. The truth of the Holy Spirit's living with and in us assures us that we will never have to feel alone. So think of it this way. The Holy Spirit is God's presence on earth and God's presence inside of believers. Now today I want to answer the question, who is the Holy Spirit? And I have a three-part answer for you. So I hope everybody can stay with me here. So number one, the first part, he is my helper. So who is the Holy Spirit? Number one, he is my helper. What kind of help will the Holy Spirit provide? I want to give you seven ways the Holy Spirit helps you. Now, I'm going to go quickly through these, but I hope that you will grasp these. Jesus gives us part of the answer in John chapter 14, verses 25 through 26. He says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So, the first one is he will teach you all things. There is no subject, I want you to understand this, there is no subject in which God isn't an expert. He has all the answers. Amen? And the second one is the Holy Spirit will help you by reminding you of everything Jesus said to you. This is one reason the Gospels are so detailed and in such agreement about the words of Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps the disciples remember everything Jesus said to them. Now look at John chapter 15, verse 26. And I told you I'd be bouncing around a lot of scripture. Jesus says, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Now, notice here that Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. So Jesus, who declares himself in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus declared himself, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. He announced that he would soon be sending a helper who would make it possible to live a life free from deception. So now look at what Jesus says in John 16, verse 7. He says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. You see, the disciples at this point, they were grief-stricken at the idea that Jesus would be going away from them. They loved him. They loved him so much. They depended on him. He was their miracle-working leader. How could it possibly be good that he is about to leave them? And Jesus immediately explains that only if he goes to the Father can the helper be sent. Now, in John chapter 16, verses 12 through 14, Jesus wants to tell them more things, but he knows it will confuse them. But he has good news for them. Who better to deliver important truths than what? The Spirit of Truth. Jesus says, but when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So there's the fourth way that the Holy Spirit helps. He will tell you what is yet to come. Now, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will tell you the future. You know, a key role for the Holy Spirit is to lead us supernaturally into truth and reveal what lies ahead. The bottom line is very simple. The Holy Spirit's role is to what? It's to help me. He helps me know what to say when I'm speechless. He helps me know when to speak it and when to keep my mouth shut. Amen? And that's something good to know. We need that guidance. We need to know when to say it, and we need to know when to not say it. And for the final three ways the Spirit is my helper, go to John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. And he says this, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So Jesus names three areas in which the Holy Spirit will prove the world to be in the wrong: sin, righteousness, and judgment. So what does Jesus mean by that? The Holy Spirit will convince the world of God's truths concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will persuade people that certain things are true. That's what the Holy Spirit's here to do. And when the Holy Spirit proves to lost people that they are in the wrong about sin, in other words, he convinces them that sin is ruling their lives, that's a good thing. That's a good thing that the Holy Spirit is doing that. This is the only way that people become aware that they need a Savior. No one ever comes to believe in Jesus as Savior without first being convinced he or she needs the Savior. And guess what? That's the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit also convinces us of righteousness. First, you must know that what righteousness means. It means having a right standing with God. So once we are born again, the Holy Spirit's role is to convince us that we have been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. He helps by providing an inner confidence of the wonderful reality of what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 says. It says this, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The Holy Spirit helps us to do that. The Holy Spirit helps you become fully convinced that you have a right standing with God, and you can come to his throne with confidence and the full assurance that you are received, you are welcomed, and you are embraced by him. Now, the seventh way the Holy Spirit helps is by convincing the world of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. You see, the ruler of this world that Jesus is referring to is Satan. The Holy Spirit convinces us that the former ruler of this world, Satan, has been judged and kicked out. He no longer has any authority in our lives. Amen? He's an outlaw. And so that right there, what I just read to you in a nutshell, that was part one. The Holy Spirit is my helper. Are you ready for number two? So we're going to go to part two. And I love this one. He is my friend. How many of you like to have friends? We like friends, don't we? We don't want to be by ourselves. And you know, when you think of a friend, you think of someone that you have a close relationship with. And the Holy Spirit wants to be your friend. And guess what? He can be if you will let him. Now, when the Holy Spirit becomes your friend, he brings four benefits into your life. And the first benefit is this. The first benefit is power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, sadly, many Christians struggle all their days to live the Christian life. And they experience all kinds of failure precisely because they try to live in their own strength. They are saved, yet live their lives of defeat and ineffectiveness. Then they die and they go to heaven. But they spend their entire lives without ever using the only power that makes victorious living possible. We need to have the Holy Spirit as our friend. That first benefit is power. That should be enough, right? I mean, I want the power, you know? I got the power, right? The second benefit, there's more. There's more benefits to the Holy Spirit being our friend. Number two, the second benefit is love. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, Christians experience the love of God through the Holy Spirit, especially in times of trouble. The tense of the verb poured out expresses an existing condition based on a prior action. We have received God's love and the Spirit continues to flood our hearts with love. Now, it is this ever-present experience of God's love that encourages and holds us secure in sufferings and assures us that our hope for future glory is not a wishful imagination. We have a future hope. And it's something that we can be excited about. Benefit number three of being friends with the Holy Spirit is fruit. You know where I'm going? Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, if you look at this passage of Scripture, in Galatians chapter 5, if you look at verse 16, before Paul gets into what we know as the fruit of the Spirit, he says this in verse 16, walk in the Spirit. And then he closes it the same way in verse 25 by saying, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now notice that Paul says fruit, not fruits, plural. You cannot just have one of these. Now, we could get into a big, long discussion about, you know, you're saying, but he listed more than one. Well, here's the truth. They all work together in unison. All those qualities and more are the natural byproducts of enjoying the Holy Spirit's presence and fellowship. So this is what Paul means by walking in the Spirit, is you have these fruit in your life. If you have that relationship with the Holy Spirit, if you understand that He is your friend, then you have the fruit of the Spirit working inside your life. And then benefit number four is gifts. Now, we're not going to get into all the gifts here. There are many gifts that I could explain to you today, but we would be here all day. So we're just going to kind of touch base. The fruit of the Spirit is a gift, and the qualities that He produces in our lives are like packages from heaven itself, filled with blessings and miracles and power. And people sometimes, they get freaked out when you mention gifts of the Spirit. And that's because some people misuse the gifts of the Spirit. They abuse and misuse many of the Spirit's gifts. And this should never cause you to shy away from a full experience and daily walk with the Holy Spirit, because you can't live a fully productive Christian life without Him. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit moving in us. Don't let people steal the benefits that you receive by being a friend of the Holy Spirit. Don't let the things that you see people, or the way they act, or the things that they say or do because of the Spirit, keep you from wanting to be a friend of the Spirit. Missing out on the gifts the Spirit brings is unfortunate. However, missing out on his friendship is tragic. And that brings me to my third part of today's message. Everybody still with me? So the Holy Spirit is my helper. He is my friend. And then the Holy Spirit is God. Now, first of all, let me be very clear. The Holy Spirit is not some kind of second-class member of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit will never bring attention to himself. The Holy Spirit only wants to talk about Jesus and see the Son lifted up. Look at what Jesus said when he introduced the Holy Spirit to his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 14. He says this, "He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." In other words, a major part of the Holy Spirit's mission is revealing heavenly things that glorify Jesus. Now, there are several verses in the Bible that point to the Trinity showing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the same verse. Now, I'm just going to read, I think I've got three verses all found in John chapter 14. Chapters 14 through 16. And here's the first one. John 14, 16 says, "And I will ask the Father," that's the I is Jesus, the Father is God, "and he will give you another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to help you and be with you forever." See, they're all three mentioned there. John chapter 14, verse 26, he says, "But the advocate," who's the Holy Spirit, "whom the Father will send in my name," that's Jesus, "will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And then also in John chapter 15, verse 26, he says, "When the advocate," which is the Holy Spirit, "whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me," that's Jesus. So you notice that each of these verses, the three are mentioned, Father, Son, and Spirit, one, yet three working together. The Holy Spirit is a full and equal member of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is not a force. It's not a thing, and it's not an it. The Holy Spirit is God in one of his three persons, treating him as some sort of heavenly afterthought or a lower order of supernatural being we can choose to ignore is just plain grievous. The Holy Spirit values too highly the awesome sacrifice made by the Father and the Son to provide forgiveness of our sins to allow one of his children to live in unnecessary shame. The Holy Spirit is a kind, compassionate, wonderful, sensitive person, and he is God. Amen? So I want to conclude with this. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you so far as we've explored who he is? What's the state of your relationship with the Holy Spirit? And I want you to think about this right where you're at. I want you to make an honest assessment of that in your heart. This is just between you and God right now. Maybe you have thought, well, you know, I've never thought a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. Maybe you sat there and said, well, you know, I don't know much about the Holy Spirit. I don't know where you're at between you and God. Maybe you said, man, I have a great relationship with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, you know, I've never thought about talking to the Holy Spirit or praying to the Holy Spirit. I've always just prayed to God and Jesus and never thought. Maybe you're saying, well, I was raised in a church that didn't believe that the Holy Spirit was for us today. I don't know where you're at, but that's something that I want you, right where you're at, I want you to take a moment and I want you to make an assessment, an honest assessment of that in your heart. And I want you to think as you process what I have been telling you. Are you a little afraid of the Holy Spirit? Have you seen some bad examples, some misuses, abuses that have caused you to keep your heart closed to the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Have they caused you to shrink back when you've sensed the presence of or promptings of the Holy Spirit? You know, I still remember the story that my friend told me about the first encounter that he had with a church and a Holy Ghost service. Now, I don't know if you ever remember some Holy Ghost services that we've had. You know, growing up in a Pentecostal church, maybe Assembly of God or some other Church of God or what other Pentecostal denomination that you might have been raised in. But if you've ever been in what they always call a Holy Ghost service, that can be kind of intimidating sometimes. And I'll never forget the story that my friend told me. And he said that, you know, he had grown up, he was raised Methodist and Baptist. So it was all new to him. And he goes to this Assembly of God church, and he's sitting there praying, and they all, he said, it was just like out of nowhere, everybody just started laying hands on him and praying for him, and just, he said, and they got louder, and he said, I didn't know what to do. He said, I was intimidated, and he said, I was scared, I was terrified, and he said, all I wanted to do was just dunk under the pews and hide my face and say, get me out of here, you know. And he said, and when I went down, he said, it was like everybody was still, oh, look, he's got it, he's got it. He's like, whatever it is, just get it off of me, you know. He said, that was my first experience of a Holy Ghost service. But because the way that the people were acting in that service, he didn't want to have anything to do with it. So if you have any doubts of who the Holy Spirit is, let me leave this with you. Number one, the Holy Spirit was sent to be your helper. That right there is something that you can take. Everybody can say, I need a helper in my faith. I believe that every one of us would agree to that. The second thing is he wants to be your intimate friend. Now, I don't know about you, but I could use more friends in my life, amen? I like friends. I like having people I can hang out with. And that's the great thing about the Holy Spirit is he wants to be your friend. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants what's best for you. He wants to help you in every possible way. He wants to be that friend. And number three, the truth that makes those two statements most amazing of all is he is God. Amen? He is God. So I want to encourage you this morning to have that relationship with the Holy Spirit. You can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit just like you have a relationship with God the Father, just like you have a relationship with God the Son. You can have a relationship with God the Holy Spirit. He wants to move in your life. He wants to be active in your life. He wants to be working in your life. He loves you and he cares for you and he wants to have that time with you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for allowing us to come here and be in your house today. Holy Spirit, be moving in our hearts. As we have understood and know who you are and how wonderful you are, how magnificent you are, open up our eyes to see and understand all the benefits of being with you, how you are there to help us each and every step, how you want to spend time with us, how we can grow closer to you. And even though this is just an introduction into who you are and how wonderful you are, I pray that you would help us in our hearts and in our lives and in our minds want to grow in you and know more about you and understand you even more today than we've knew in the past. Go with us today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This morning I want to take a moment and I want you to think about what I've told you. The Holy Spirit wants to help you. He wants to be your friend. He is God. And I just want to encourage you to make him a part of your life. Begin this week by developing that relationship with the Holy Spirit. This is something that I believe will change your life, and not only your life, I believe it'll change this church's life, that as this church begins to move in the things of the Spirit and what the Spirit has for us, and we can make Him a part of our regular part of our life, walking with us, directing us, guiding us. And I believe, but we as believers just need to open up ourselves and say, I'm ready. Whatever you have for me, Holy Spirit, whatever you want us, wherever you want us to go, whatever you want us to do, we want to follow you and walk in your path. And then today, maybe you're here or maybe you're watching online and you don't understand maybe what I've been talking about. Maybe you need to take the first step and repent and ask Jesus to be your Savior and Lord. Well, this is your chance. Today is your day to repent of your sins. Make the decision to live a life that is pleasing to God. Ask God to forgive you today. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Every sin forgiven, washed away as if it never happened. You recognize that you need His grace. You need His forgiveness. You need hope. You need change. It's not something that you can earn. You don't deserve it, but it's freely given to you, and that is why you're here today. It's time to say yes today by faith. Give Him your life. And if this is you, I want you to say this prayer after me. Can we all say this prayer together? Say, dear Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. I confess that I need a Savior. Today I give my heart to you. Come into my life and make me clean. I want to serve you. I give my life to you. I am no longer my own, but I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you said that prayer, please let us know. We would love to be able to help you in this journey, help whatever way we can to, because we believe that our Christian walk doesn't just end at the point of salvation, but it continues on throughout our life. And so I just want to encourage you to get someone to help you walk in this path. I want to before we move on today, I want to remind you, next Sunday, we're going to continue the series that we started today, and I want to look at Pentecost. Some people may not fully understand Pentecost and everything that Pentecost has to do for us, or what it means for both them during their that time of when Christ said, you know, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, when it says the day of Pentecost, you know, we hear about that. Maybe you've heard churches celebrate Pentecost Sunday. And so I just want to take a look of what Pentecost meant back then and what it means for us today. And so we will talk about that next Sunday. And let me encourage you to not miss any week of this series. If for some reason you happen to miss a week, let me encourage you to go back and watch it on YouTube. We also have a podcast of it. And I believe that this is something that will help you, will be beneficial to you. And I believe that it's something that will help your life, both in your heart and just your daily steps that you take. So let me encourage you that. Before we, I want to say thank you to everyone that's already given online this week. That's so important. Thank you. But I also want to say thank you to everyone that has given to our BGMC missions project, Ignite Your Asia. And we are halfway to our goal of $1,500. We are at $727. If you can help in any way, that would be great. We collected money today for BGMC. If you have not put your money in here yet, you can put it in after service. But we will also, all that will go. Today, all of this will go to the Royal Rangers International and help with the Ignite Your Asia project. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I don't know about you, but I would think that all of us love to be happy, right? We like when good things happen in our life, and we like having joy. We try to find things that make us happy. And the word translated cheerful here in this verse, it does not refer to loud and uncontrolled expressions of leaping and laughter. Rather, it means we get to experience an overwhelming sense of inner joy, gladness, and fulfillment that goes along with sincere and generous giving. I love to give. And I am, believe it or not, I enjoy it when I hear God speaking to me to give. That means that He can trust me. And when I respond to Him, I am joyful, and there is an overwhelming sense of inner joy and gladness that makes my heart happy. The truth is, not only does God love a cheerful giver, but I love being a cheerful giver. Amen? So as you give this morning, don't give because you feel you have to, but give because you want to. I want to, we're going to do one more thing. I've got a video I want to show you, and then I'm going to come up and dismiss, and we'll pray over the offering. As you go, as you give in the offering, and then as you go, there's a display out there in the foyer of shoeboxes. If you could, please grab you a shoebox. You can grab three or four, however many you want, and I've got plenty of shoeboxes. We last year, I think we turned in a little over, I think it was 72 boxes, something like that. And this year, our goal is 100 shoeboxes, and I believe that we can hit that goal. And you can also, if you don't want to go shopping, they have a way that you can pack a shoebox online. You pay for it online, and you do all that stuff. But I think part of the fun is going out and just finding the stuff for the shoeboxes. We make it a family event. Our kids go. We let them pick out the stuff. And honestly, we go to Dollar Tree, and we just pick a bunch of stuff. And it's, I mean, we have a blast. We've already bought some stuff when we find stuff on clearance. So let me encourage you to go and get a shoebox. I promise you it will change your life, and it will make a difference in your Christmas experience this year. How many knows that we need a little more joy this year? Amen? I think everybody can agree we need more joy this year, and I believe there's no better joy than packing a shoebox that will bring joy to your life and to your heart. Can we pray over this offering? God, I just pray that you bless every person that gives. God, I pray that you help us to go forth to do your work.